4 days ago, Did You Know Gaming released a video on Smash Ultimate Rumors. One of the most notable ones to me was the possible inclusion of Steve from Minecraft that was so far, quote, debunked. 3 days ago, Steve from Minecraft was announced for Smash Ultimate. Rumors aren't debunked. They're either confirmed or just don't come to pass. And this is also why you shouldn't pre-order games multiple months out. This is just one headline of the night. Join your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
My friends out there on the internet, welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, back again live tonight with episode number 838 for this October the 4th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined by my co-hosts. Say hello, welcome back to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Greetings and salutations.
Welcome back. I know it's not like a happy holiday, but I hope you had a restful and good holiday.
Well, I didn't fast, so there's that.
Okay.
You know, it's supposed to be a holy day where you afflict yourself. I figured this year we were already afflicted. I wasn't going to do more. Sorry. Not about that.
I understand. It's been we've all been challenged enough as it is, regardless of your religion. This year, it's been a heck of a year. All the 2020 jokes, that's for sure.
Quite so.
Yeah, I want to acknowledge our chat because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, V-O-G Network, and you can see more information about all that at VOGnetwork.com. We go live Sunday nights at 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. So there's some folks in chat that are going, what is going on? It's Bizarro OLR. It's Mirror Universe OLR. Because all we changed tonight was that I reordered the cameras a little bit, so I'm on the left side of the screen, and Dark Sakura and Techmaster Loki are on the right side of the screen because obviously we've been doing this distance taping for months now. OLR historically for 17 and a half years was all in the same place, but because of some of those things Jamie and I just spoke about, we're distance recording right now. So here's the deal. It's as simple as this. I have a tendency, since this space we're in, which we've called Studio N7, where I'm based in Sacramento, California, aka my spare room, this was really designed to be a radio studio and one you weren't supposed to see. So we kind of made it work for Twitch, and then we've had to make it work again for this remote thing. So long story short, I have a bad habit, I've noticed, of looking at this TV that's over here so I can see Dark Sakura and Loki during the show. Well, when I was on the right side of the screen, it looks like I'm looking at nothing. But by reordering it, now it's just a little trick. Now it just looks like I'm looking at Jamie or I'm looking at Loki if I look down a little bit. So that's all it is. It's just trying to make it look like I'm paying attention every time I look at the TV as opposed to drifting and where are my eyes. Anyway, so there you go. A little peek behind the curtain. One of the folks that is in the cameras on the right there, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
And I noticed some folks in chat are commenting on the game that you're playing, or not playing, but the game running behind you as we are on Twitch right now. I thought at first it was Blaster Master, but I wouldn't have been far off.
Close. Yeah, you would be.
I wouldn't have been far off. No, it's Fester's Quest, right? That's going on.
It's practically the same universe.
It well, I think I'm pretty sure it's the same engine anyway. At least the part that powered the overhead stuff.
Absolutely, same engine.
Yeah. So why Fester's Quest tonight?
Because it's October, so it's like a Halloween game.
Okay, so it's going to be spooky month here at OLR.
Sure, why not? Yeah.
Sounds good. Let's see. DJRama S in our chat over twitch.tv/VOG Network says, Rob, I try to do that too when I stream, except that Slobs flips my webcam. So I was thinking about doing a mirror image, and that would have fixed the problem too, but then all my logo t-shirts would have been backwards and you guys would have complained about that. So you get this, you'll get used to it. It's just a reordering. I'm just in a different part of the window on the Zoom call. You'll all get over it. All right. Anyway, Dark Sakura, love your wig. I neglected to point that out earlier in the show.
Sorry, I was on mute again.
That's all right. Because it is October and spooky season, and now the Spirit Halloween stores are popping up everywhere, are you going to expand your wig collection this month?
Girl, No, not even. Look at this.
I can't really see. Oh, is that a gray? Wait, it's hard to see. Gray?
It's kind of like a purple silver, but it's for Project Nunway. Which is something the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are doing. We're having a fashion show. I will be finishing up my costume. My look is supposed to be themed with chastity. So it's going to be, you're going to see me in white. There will be chains on it. Okay. And protesting. But I'll put some stuff out there for when that's going to go down, because it's going to be, we're recording in a couple of weeks and it'll be the week after that. So
nice.
I'll definitely let everyone in the loop.
Post on your Twitter or your Insta or something.
Oh yeah. Oh, and there's going to be more in the works very publicly this month. So keep your eyes open.
All right. Yeah. All right, well, let's get into games, as we do like to play some video games as the real world continues its crazy path this year. But video games sure are a great escape. And one video game kind of dominating the news in multiple places this week, sort of. Right, Loki?
Yeah, so it makes sense that they timed the announcements close to each other, because this week we had, of course, a couple announcements regarding Minecraft. So the first announcement was by Nintendo announcing that the next DLC fighter for Smash Brothers is going to be Steve from Minecraft. Or should I say Steve, Alex, the zombie, and an Enderman from Minecraft. All of those being the Shadow Fighters as well. So it's kind of interesting. Steve's got a lot of unique abilities, including being able to place blocks on the map. You can have a lot of different abilities based on the different mobs and stuff that are in Minecraft as well. It just looks like a pretty fun character. So they announced that this week, right before, of course, the Minecraft Live event that they did.
Wait, before you get into the Minecon replacement for this year, talking about Minecraft Steve and Switch, boy, were hoes mad on Twitter. There were a lot of mad hoes online this week about Steve in Minecraft. I'm kind of curious what you guys think about that character addition. I think it's interesting, mostly because it's been rumored for so long. I think it's more interesting that that rumor actually came true, and you don't know if it's the rumor was true or if it's they heard so many people on the internet imagining it, they made it real. Like, it's almost hard to figure out how this came to be. I'm curious, what are your guys' reactions to, and I open this up to chat too, your reaction to Steve in Smash Brothers?
I mean, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's not, I'll be honest, I really don't get surprised by some of these announcements these days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just being perfectly honest, I expect anybody to make it into Smash. It's not exclusive.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it does, because I do feel like, you know, there are so many flipping characters in the game, and I feel like the DLC has really been a place for them to experiment outside of just the Nintendo stuff. And I know we already had, you know, like Solid Snake, you know, we had characters that weren't necessarily Nintendo already in the game, Simon Belmont, Pac-Man, et cetera, et cetera. But it does seem like the DLC's been the place to really experiment. And I'm talking about like Joker from Persona. Who would have ever saw that one coming? I'm sorry, but that would have never been on my radar. And like, I'm not saying Persona's bad. That is not what I'm saying at all. But I just associate Persona with PlayStation. I would have never associated. And yes, I realize it does exist in different games on Nintendo. But you guys, it's not something you kind of, like, I remember playing Castlevania on NES. I remember playing Pac-Man on NES. Solid Snake, maybe Metal Gear, if we go back to the original Metal Gear, maybe on NES. Yes, I realize it existed on the GameCube. Don't nickel and dime my argument here. But my point is, Joker and Persona, I don't really think of that with the Switch. So we started getting really experimental with this DLC. Now, Minecraft...
Well, I wouldn't say we started with this one. I mean, look, we had Cloud from Final Fantasy VII not too long ago as well.
Yes. And I just...
There's nothing to be surprised about anymore. It's like, oh, cool.
Yeah, I think it's more of a video game pool at this point. And to be honest, again, look at the top-selling games on the Nintendo Switch on the eShop. Minecraft has always been in the top five since the day it came out. Minecraft is a huge game. Minecraft is something that's going to appeal to younger kids. Something that Bobby was saying during his show, and I saw him repeating it in chat, was that, you know, there's going to be younger kids, like 8 years old, that are going to be excited for Smash now because a character that they have associations with, you know, us here at Orange Lounge Radio, us gamers that have been around since the olden days, we remember Mario, Luigi, Link, and you know, all this stuff. But kids really associate with Minecraft Steve in a similar way. Loki, I don't know if you have a reference here because you have kids in that target age. Did they see this? What do they think?
They think it's pretty cool. They want to get it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping for Jason Voorhees, but, you know, it's fine. No, seriously, though, it was pretty cool. I thought it was interesting. It's got me interested in Smash Brothers, though. Just have to pick it up for my kids now.
All right.
But yeah.
Let me ask one more question. It's the question all your podcasts and all the social media is going to be asking, but I'm going to do it too. Since clearly nothing is off limits at this point in Smash, if you get to do one character, the last character for Smash for DLC, yes, I know there's four more, but in my scenario, you're doing the last one. What's the character you're going to add? And you could do anything you want.
Right now, given that I am in fandom denial with my favorite show ending, mm-hmm. I am going to say that I am going to have character swaps for the Winchesters.
Okay.
I'm going to go supernatural on this one because right now I'm just still like super depressed the show is ending.
You're going to cross over into TV and movie or TV fandom, really. Yeah.
Crossover into TV fandom.
Okay. All right. I like that. Then you know what? Why not? I'm also going to go that route, sort of. And I'm just going to straight up pick Batman. I want Batman. Why not? Batman had some great NES games. There was the one that was based on the 89 movie, and there's always those tie-ins. And yeah, I'd go with Batman. And then you could do all the costume changes. It would just be like Batman in all the different movies. And I would only ever play the Adam West one. So I'm going with, and it's not just because of my shirt. I'm picking Batman. Spoiler alert.
Right.
Loki, what about you?
I don't know. There's so many to pick from. Yeah, I could pick something stupid, I guess. I don't know.
Pod culture suggests Tingle for you?
No, Tingle's already an assist trophy. So I'm sorry. That's just off limits now. How about... Okay, this is kind of stupid. I don't even remember if this character is any good, but like Captain N, let's just do that.
Okay, why
good
not?
Lord, no,
no, it's a terrible choice, but I love it.
It is a terrible choice.
That was gonna be either it was either that or something from the Super Mario Brothers live action movie. So
okay, I like that. All right, here's some comments from chat. I like Bobby's suggestion. This is a good one. The Prince of All Cosmos. That's a really good suggestion. I like that.
No. I know. Let's get the kid from Wizard. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the main characters. I'm talking about what's his name? They have the super
California.
Glove.
Yeah, the one
Let's get the kid with the power glove.
Okay.
Yeah, it's red.
That guy. The one that. Yeah, I think he's in jail now. Fifth Dream says Ishtola for Smash from 14. Phoenix 7726 suggests Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
And then John Cena shows up there from Bobby Blackwolf. Let's see other questions or sorry, other comments. Breakman says the dog from Legacy of the Wizard. And ActDev says Kelowna. That one was rumored some time ago, but I think that might have been more wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But as we know, nothing's off limits. So there you go. All right. Minecraft Steve and Smash. So sorry, Loki, you were going to get into the not MineCon, but.
Yeah. So Minecraft Live is what mm-hmm. they're calling it now. It's their live event that they do in place of MineCon because obviously there's no MineCon this year because of COVID and everything. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the big announcement was what's going to be in the 1.17 update. And they've announced that it's going to be the Minecraft Caves and Cliffs update. So it's going to completely redo the cave generation that's in Minecraft, as well as generating elevation-specific biomes for mountains and whatnot. So lots of cool stuff. They showed off some new cave types, including lush caves, which are full of different plant life, and also dripstone caves that have slagmites and stalactites, giant underwater caves, lots of cool stuff. So some of the new mobs being added to the game, they have a new biome that's also at the very bottom of the map called the Deep Dark, and they have a new mob that's basically blind and it detects you by vibration, and that's called the Warden, which is apparently like this big OP mob that's in the game now. So that's pretty cool. other animals that are in the game. They added a mountain goat, which is kind of cool. And the axolotl is the new kind of pet creature that you can get that'll follow you through the water. New ores, so like copper, they have these geode things that you can get as well. You can craft satchels now. It's available to carry additional items with you. They have a whole archaeology thing that they've worked into the game now. So lots of exciting stuff. That's, of course, all coming next summer is when that's going to be coming out. Aside from just the proper
that's a
Minecraft
long way out.
Well, yeah, it is. Outside of that, they talked about some more stuff for Minecraft Dungeons. So it's going to be getting cross-play support pretty soon in November. So you'll be able to play on all the other systems that it's on. So that's kind of cool. New DLC coming out as well. They're going to be adding a new difficulty, Apocalypse Plus, to that. And so Education Edition's getting some more updates as well. They're having a brand new map called Good Trouble, Social Justice Movements around the world. So they're not only talking about like science and stuff, but also social justice stuff they're talking about as well. They have this global build.
That's a neat tribute. I like that. Sorry, I was just I like that they're calling it Good Trouble. That's neat.
Yeah. And then they also have, of course, this global build championship that's also tied with the Minecraft Education Edition, which is kind of cool. They covered a little bit more, of course, on the Minecraft Steve coming to Smash stuff. They talked a little bit about that. More creator tools coming now for people looking to make stuff for Minecraft Bedrock Edition. So lots of new mods be created with that. So I'm kind of excited about that. They did a mob vote, which the three mobs that were being voted on, there was two from Minecraft Earth, which was the Moobloom and the Glow Squid. And then they had an Isologer, which was from Dungeons. And unfortunately, the Glow Squid one, which it's just basically a retextured squid. It doesn't even really glow. It just has a texture that looks like it's glowing. That's kind of lame, but yeah, whatever. And then, of course, Minecraft Earth is getting some more updates as well. They have pistons and sticky pistons, as well as some new water-based mobs that are becoming as well. So,
did you say sticky? Did you say sticky pistons?
Yes, sticky pistons.
Sticky pistons. Okay, just wanted to make sure I caught that.
Yes, Rob. Jeez, don't you know that's an actual thing, right?
Yes, I know. Of course, I do. Just don't always expect to hear about sticky pistons here on OLR.
It has slime on it.
Okay, yeah.
So that the blocks stick to it.
Yeah, I gotcha. I haven't played Earth since the day it came out, but sure, gotcha.
Yeah, so lots of exciting stuff. I can't wait to actually play all this stuff when it finally does come out. No talk about RTX stuff, which I'm kind of surprised as well. I would have thought, especially with the Xbox Series X right around the corner, we'd be talking a little bit about RTX support and maybe ray tracing in that version of the game, but no mention of any of that, so maybe that's not coming anytime soon.
Interesting. Yeah, I would have thought that would have been in an update that's ready to go relatively soon once the Xbox Series X is out, since a lot of the focus in the early previews of Xbox Series X, because, the consoles are starting to show up out in the wild, at least in the hands of, influencers and journalists.
Yeah,
and that whole thing, which we're not on either of those lists. But a lot of focus is on the backwards compatibility, and folks are talking about, how much faster the old games load up and so forth, and is running at like 60 frames a second, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a little surprising that they don't have some of that show-off-y stuff in Minecraft kind of ready to go, since part of the big focus on Xbox Series X's launch is going to be the old games all becoming new again in a way.
Yeah, I can only imagine that the fast loading is definitely going to have a huge benefit in a game that's procedurally generated like that. That's constantly loading assets.
For sure. And same thing. Probably the first game I will play on Xbox Series X is No Man's Sky. Just to see.
Of course.
And I'll talk about that. I'm still playing that game a lot. But I will check it out just because that is one that I definitely expect to look a lot better on Xbox Series X versus old school Xbox One that I have now, where it probably looks the worst compared to PC and PlayStation 4 Pro. So yeah, very excited to see that. So, all right. I guess that's it with the Minecraft news. Minecraft Dungeons is a lot of fun. I need to go back and play that some more. So the crossplay stuff is pretty cool because I've been playing on PC, but I know one of my friends has been playing on Xbox One. So that'll be nice that we can bridge that gap. So cool.
Yeah, and that same thing too is like I wanted to play with my kids or even just play with other people, and you know, I have it on PC right now, and so they don't have other consoles to play. And I have to get it on PC for my one son and Switch for the other one. So,
All right,
I'll have to wait.
Well, let's move on and talk about some of the games that we've been playing this week. Maybe Minecraft, maybe not. How was your gaming week? We'll start with Dark Sakura, as we usually do.
I, of course, have played lots of Animal Crossing, of course.
You?
No. but I also got a Puyo Puyo Championship. It was on sale, and I was like, I like Puyo Puyo, so I got it. And it was better once I changed the voices to Japanese, because it kind of felt a little bit more like the, you know, old school Puyo Puyo. I don't know how I feel about it, but it's nice if I just want to do like a little bit of puzzle play, and it was pretty fun. I also have been playing, you know, I'm redoing the puzzles on Pattern now that I have my iPad Pro. And I'm thinking I don't know, I kind of want to try like a different RPG, but even though I am paying for Final Fantasy 14 now, I haven't started, so I'm going to see about transferring. Well, I might just play my character as is for a little bit before I decide to transfer her over permanently to another place, because I don't think that she's in a free company right now, and I kind of want her to be. So same old one. I got her to end game on whatever the second expansion was.
Heaven's Word.
Yeah.
Or Stormblood.
So,
depending on what you view as an expansion.
Well, I mean, it was the whatever Heaven's Word I played.
If it was Dragons, it was Heaven's Word. If it was Doma and the Far East type stuff, it was Stormblood.
I didn't do that one, I know for sure. But okay. When I bought the last expansion, it came with Stormblood.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, when I bought it, I paid for one expansion, but it gave me two. So yeah. That was cool. Yeah, suck that, World of Warcraft. You should be that nice. You know. But anyway, I've just been, you know, looking into just some things like that and playing, you know, some Outrun. And we had Mario 35, which I don't like.
Oh, why is that?
That kind of shit annoys me. I also don't like Tetris 99 for the same reason. But Dan sure is into it, and I watched him hit like first place like four games in a row.
Dang.
So he's just all kinds of on top of it and really good at it. So I don't actually think that I have seen him finish less than 10th place at all.
Oh, you should have seen me finish 34th the other day. That was a hoot and a holler.
Well, I honestly think that they should keep it up. Dan seems to really enjoy it. It makes him happy. And I'm sometimes like watching him play, but it's just way too frustrating for me. I'm just totally not into it that much. So, if I'm going to play, I actually don't like competitive play that much, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just, you know, I want to play something that's a little fun. I want to play with my friends. I liked, you know, multiplayer for Mass Effect 3. I think that was one of the last things. No, I take that back. I played Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, because I was playing that with y'all. And then I said I wasn't going to do anything more with Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, I'm getting myself back into it, and I'm also working on something that will be linking back to VOG. I've brought it up in the past, and now it's actually happening. And there will be games spoken of on it, but that is all thou shalt know.
Okay.
Publicly.
Even I don't think I know what it is. All right.
you kind of know what it is. I've brought it up to you in the past, but it's actually happening.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Have to see what it is. All right. Let's see, Loki, how about you? How was your gaming week?
I played a little bit of Mario 35 as well, so that was fun. Only got a few games in before my kids wanted to switch back. I played a bit of Minecraft Bedrock again. Just was going in and working on, we're building a giant like amusement park next to the house, so it's working on mapping out a extremely elaborate roller coaster for that. So I've been working on that, and then what else? That was pretty much it. A little bit of Orna. That's about it.
All right. As far as my gaming week goes, a lot of the same stuff I've been talking about. Still working on Final Fantasy 14. My mission to level all my crafters and gatherers. I've been kind of stuck having to go back and do all of the quests for the various crafting classes, but I made a lot of progress with that the past couple days. So that was good. So I've made progress on that. And then I've been spending a lot of time still with No Man's Sky. That's still going. I'm past 20 hours on my save file at this point, and I've definitely seen things I didn't even know there was, like, red star solar systems and this whole type of thing that was in the game that I'm just learning about. Apparently, there's green and blue star solar systems, too. That red star solar system, for those of you that have played No Man's Sky and know what I'm talking about with these different star solar systems, that the planets in my red star system were some of the scariest shit I have ever seen. Like, that was an October surprise, let me tell you. There was that one planet that was just like covered in clouds. And like the minute I get through the clouds, I feel like I'm going to run into the ground. And it's like a volcanic planet where it's like, warning, there is a lava storm coming your way. I'm like, lava storm? Ah! I just want to grab some copper and get the fuck out of here. So yeah, that was scary. And that's not even, red is like the first level. So apparently there is green and then there's blue. So I just can't wait to see what nightmares await in those areas. Maybe I just got really lucky. I don't know. I've been naming all of my universes after musicians and celebrities. So of course I have a system when I play No Man's Sky to remember like what system is what. I start my first system with A. So ABBA was my first system, okay? Then B, Britney. So my red star system is Gaga, because of course it is. So, and I think I just got last night to Adina, so I'm on I. So we're working our way there. There you go. I don't know what my J. Oh no, J is going to be Janet. That's what it's going to be, Janet Jackson. So So making my way through those. Other games I've been playing this week, as far as new games, I have been playing Super Mario 35 would be the new game I've played this week. I'm not quite as good as Dan, apparently, but I've made my way to level, like, I don't know, 17 or 18. It's neat. I think there's an interesting strategy to it, as to you don't really want to just warp back and forth necessarily between 1-1 and 1-2, even though those levels are easy, because the way you really screw up other people, you have to be able to send over Bowsers. Because if you haven't played Super Mario 35 yet, basically, the enemies you kill in your game get sent over to someone else's game, but they are literally the enemies you are killing. So if you're killing Goombas and Turtles, then no big deal. You're sending Goombas and Turtles to other people's games. But when you start killing things like bloopers in the underwater level, Cheep Cheeps in the bridge levels, and literally Bowser, and you can drop those mobs in people's 1-1 and 1-2 games, that's when you start murdering people. So the game is an interesting balance between racking up enough time, because you also have a clock that's pretty aggressive, and the way you add time to the clock is killing enemies, and you get a lot more time killing enemies not with a fireball than you do. You get 1 second if you kill them with a fireball. The best thing you can do, turtle shell, kick the turtle shell and knock over as many enemies as you can and don't get hit by the ricochet. If you can do that kind of as you're getting the game started and rack up some time on the clock, that's what I found to be the best strategy. Although I can't get further than fifth place was the best I did.
Or if you collect more fire flowers after you have a fire flower, that's 15 seconds each time.
That is also very good. And I have found that I sit on the fire flower and I really try to hold that as long as I can. And if I lose it, that's when I spin the roulette wheel. I save all my coins to try to get firepower back as fast as possible if I lose it. Because that's the
Dan
only...
is always spinning the roulette. He just uses it like it's going out of style.
Really? See, I wait until I need it, because that way I can get fire back. Because that's the only way you can get rid of Bowser bloopers and those types of things that you can't.
You also get more for hitting the axe instead of shooting Bowser or getting rid of him a different way.
Oh, interesting. I actually didn't know that. Okay. Yep. Good to know.
You get a lot more coins for that.
And the flagpole gives you more time the higher you get up on it. So it's interesting. It is an interesting dynamic they have set up. But on one hand, I don't know if it's going to have that kind of longevity to get past March. So I sort of see why there's an end date on it. Although part of me kind of wishes, well, couldn't they maybe innovate on the game by doing some Lost levels in it or some Mario 3 levels or kind of mixing it up like that to make the game last a little longer? But I'm making it sound like it's easy to make a game and it's not always easy to make a game. And I don't know how much Super Mario Brothers existing as a game already necessarily helped them. What I mean is
they had to rebuild it from the scratch, the ground up.
They probably had to rebuild it from the ground up. So to make this work. So it may not be as easy as we all assume it is. So, I'm trying to be mindful of that. But I would hope that there will still be some way to revisit this even after they shut down the online servers. I wish they just do an AI mode or something just for history and preservation, because this is an interesting little twist on Mario, if nothing else. So, all right. Well, that's it for my gaming week. So I think that's everybody's week. Let me do some quick housekeeping real quick, and then we'll get into the rest of the news. So first off, there's not going to be a show next week. No live show next week. No tape show either, actually. I am going on a trip. Yes, I'm aware there's a pandemic. Don't worry. Everything is precaution and all that good stuff. So don't worry about that. I am not going to an event on the White House lawn, so I should be pretty safe, all things considered. That's all I'm going to say about that.
No rose gardens for you.
No. Well, there might be a rose garden, but just not that one. So I will be gone. However, I believe Dark Sakura, you said you're going to be doing something here for at least our Twitch crowd on Sunday.
Yeah, I think I'll stream for a little bit. Probably just something, whatever's on my computer. I'm just going to do like a random stream. We'll see what it is. I mean, maybe it'll be me getting back into Final Fantasy 14. Maybe it'll be stuff. Who knows?
Right.
We'll see what happens. I'll try to get it going around the same time. I don't have like my camera setup done because honestly, I'm going to be probably retiring my PC soon. So we'll see.
All right. So Bobby Blackwolf and Dark Sakura next week. So yes, Bobby will still be here next week. So the live crowd has something to watch. Unfortunately for the podcast crowd, it'll just have to be a week to catch up on some other great indie podcasts next week. Loki, maybe you'll get some time to work on your game.
I've been doing that all week.
You should have Dark Sakura play your game. I like that idea.
Nope.
But he's trying to keep it a surprise.
All right. I tried. That was close. All right.
I got your back, Loki.
All right, and you're going to get the pizza when he finally finishes. This has to be a big event.
Yay, pizza.
You know what? I'll go a step further. Uh-oh. I will make you a pizza.
Dark Soccer doesn't often say she's going to get in the kitchen and make someone a meal. So this is a big thing.
I make a pretty good homemade pizza dough. I make homemade sauce. I do the whole thing, and we bake it in a cast iron skillet.
Okay. All right. I'm excited. All right.
If you've never had pizza out of a cast iron skillet, you are totally missing out.
All right. So look forward to that. Do you think by the end of the year, Loki, is this going to be a 2020? Maybe it'll make the pain and the suffering worth it, Loki, that I get to play a Loki game at the end of the year?
I'm hoping to have it done this month, so.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll make you a spooky pizza.
All right. Well, good luck.
Be in it.
I also want to give a quick shout out for the VOG Network Roundtables. That side project is still going. This week, I sat down with ACTDEFT, SSGO 100 Matt, and Shad Starzik to talk about. And with that group, you know, we were talking about Pokemon. So we talked about, and we'll get into it here later on OLR, so we'll still cover it. But we kind of had a side conversation with a different group on the Pokemon Go updates and some of that, as well as the Pokemon Direct from earlier this week. So check that out over at vognetwork.com. Probably won't be a round table next week just because with my trip and everything, it's going to kind of get in the way. If something really big happens on Monday or Tuesday, then I'll try to throw something together, but probably not. So we'll get back to that in a couple weeks. All right. Anyhow, let's move on and get into some gaming news. Loki, we'll start with you.
Yeah. So let's talk about delays. More delays. So World of Warcraft Shadowlands was supposed to be coming out pretty soon, and unfortunately they announced that it has been delayed. So they're going to be doing a pre-patch update expected in the next week or so on October 13th. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, they're still going to be working on the expansion for the coming future. They basically said, you know, we believe it will be something special, and we've heard from many of you who feel the same. We need this extra time to ensure Shadowlands lives up to its full potential. So,
yeah, it needs to be good because, wow, I mean, there's still a lot of very, very loyal fans of World of Warcraft. I still have a lot on my Twitter feed because of the time that I did that show Horde House, which is kind of a spinoff of this one. When I did that a few years ago, we, you know, pretty much exclusively talked about WoW for a period on that show and made a lot of friends in the community that way. And I have a lot of them that are still really jazzed about what's going on with WoW and the changes and everything. But, you know, a lot of people have fallen out of WoW, too, and I'm more in that crowd. So this next expansion really kind of needs to be good, not just to impress the current base that's there, but to try to woo people back. And a lot of problems with this last expansion, the Battle for Azeroth, had to do with like the Azerite grinding and some of what was going on in the end game. And it's interesting to hear about the reason apparently behind the delay for this one, Shadowlands, has to do with the end game. So they're really trying to make sure they get it right and not have that screwed up when it launches. And that's important. But I don't think this is going to get delayed a terribly long time, because if they're doing the pre-patch, they hadn't announced the date for the pre-patch yet. So when they announced the delay, they said, but at least you're getting the pre-patch next week. And that is a pretty big deal because a lot of the systems in Shadowlands will be in place. A lot of the class balancing, I believe the level squish, because they're doing the great level squish where characters are going to be down now to level 50 and the expansion will take you through 60. And that's big because it was up to like 110, 120. I don't know. It was unreal. So that big squish is coming. I have friends that are really excited about it. And like Shane and stuff, they've really been trying to get me to come back to WoW. But I'm not feeling it. Like the reviews.
I'm way done with it.
The reviews for this expansion would have to be stunning, and even then, I'm kind of like, I got enough going on between like No Man's Sky. The other days. I don't want to pay for two MMOs. I won't play anything else. So I don't know. Maybe if the reviews were like stunning for this, but I'm not exactly going to hold my breath. But I do hope for great things for the folks that are still loving WoW and all my friends that I did make that are still playing that game over there. So we'll see. Miltonius Games in our chat says, I had PTO put aside for it, and I probably won't be able to get that time off later in the year, but I'm still glad they won't release it if they don't think it is ready to go. You know, there were some people on Twitter, though, that were throwing a fit about, I took the day off for this, and my honest-to-God reaction was, if you had the ability to take the day off for a video game, you're having a better 2020 than a lot of people. So, and I'm not reading you with that comment, but like the folks on Twitter that were responding so crappily.
So you cancel your time off and do something else. I mean, like, yeah. I swear to God, like people complain about this. People complain about Smash announcements. Like,
start a hobby.
It's just like so many, like, complaining cannot be a hobby of yours.
Write a blog post for us so we can put it on the website.
Yes. Do a roundtable so we can post on the website, I guess.
Or at least if you're going to complain about it, like make YouTube videos complain about it, because at least then you might be able to make something out of that, you know? But yeah. Like just complaining about everything is just not a way to go through life.
I get the disappointment. Especially because the Warcraft folks have been waiting a while. The Battle for Azeroth's been the live expansion for quite
it's
some time.
2020. You're not used to disappointment yet? I mean, come on.
I guess that's really all that needs to be said, isn't it? All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about, I think this is another thing that's going to have people complaining. And then this has to do with the switching of the buttons on the PlayStation 5. And not necessarily everybody listening is going to understand this and how this is a big deal. But let me tell you, this is a big deal. And Dark Soccer, I don't know if you've heard about this yet, but you're going to have a reaction to this too, I'm sure. So in Japan, for the longest time, what happens with the circle and the X button is switched from what we know in the U.S., right? So usually X confirms here in the U.S., and in Japan, circle confirms, right? So it's a little bit backwards.
Which makes fucking sense.
Yes.
It's stupid over here.
Well, guess
what? You're getting the stupid way.
Guess what? Japan's getting the stupid way. So it has been confirmed because of some PlayStation 5 previews going on. The PR confirmed to Japanese media The X button will now be used to confirm universally around the globe. So this means for the last, what, PlayStation's been around, what, 25 years, and they've been used to it the other way around. So, I mean, again, for those of us that are kind of used to it this way in the States or Europe, no change. This isn't news that affects us. But for people in Japan, this is big. And, you know, if you don't understand it, try going and play a Japanese game. Now, I say that I knew Dark Sakura was going to have a reaction to this because, and I was like, ooh, that is going to be tricky, because we used to import shit all the time and still do, I think.
For
like PlayStation 2, you know, especially with the Bimani games, everything was reverse, right? So we kind of got used to that. And it is a different way of thinking. And, you know, you do have to kind of put on the different hat. But this is going to be big. So.
Yeah, but it's
going to be annoying.
Well, they have the accessibility options. I'm assuming that's going to carry over from PlayStation 4, where you can remap your buttons.
Yes.
I don't understand what's the big deal. If you don't like it, then just switch it back.
And I actually, for the most part, I agree, but there is a key phrase that you said there, Loki, and that is, I'm assuming. We don't have confirmation about the PlayStation 4's interface, because the interface was hidden from this preview that folks got to see of the PlayStation 5, so we still don't know what the PlayStation interface looks like. The hope is, just from an accessibility perspective, that yes, you'll be able to flip the buttons around, and yeah, I think that will be the easy solution. And a lot of people kind of pointed this out as well online, is why don't they just bake it into the firmware? That you have a toggle, like you can pick. Most games now in this day and age let you pick. Do you want X to confirm or circle to confirm? And it's in the options. So it is kind of interesting that Sony is forcing this. I'm not sure why they want to make it the same everywhere and not just let you have an option. That's weird.
Because that's the Sony way.
Mm.
No options, only forcing.
I guess so. But you can imagine there's a lot of Japanese audience that is going to have their world. I don't know if Akuma JP is still able to join us live. I haven't seen him on a Sunday in a while. Well, I see him on Twitter once in a while, but I'd be very curious what his thoughts are on this or anybody that is used to the Japanese way. So,
after all, they do believe that force feedback is not important. That's why they don't care about what you want. They're just going to force you to do it.
Act Deft in chat says, all I can say is finally, I love the stupid way. I'm stupid. Act Deft, you're not stupid. You just have been conditioned a certain way. Dark Tetsuya says, I hadn't thought about it much till I got my Japanese PS2 this year. So interesting to see them change it over there. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Act Deft says, I always make the mistake of pressing X in some Japanese games and it's frustrating. Bobby Blackwell says, I still have to remember I'm playing a Switch or an Xbox PS game, because on the Switch, the confirm button is the right button and not the bottom button. And Questbuster brings up a game that's been getting a lot of attention on Twitch lately, and I know I've seen a lot of people playing this, Genshin Impact. Have you guys seen this game? It looks like Xenoblade, but kind of like anime to me, and it's doing crazy business on Twitch, so it's very interesting. But anyway, Questbuster...
I'm loading at the website.
Yeah. Questbuster.
I was unaware Xenoblade was not anime.
Look at this game and then tell me I'm wrong.
So it's more anime?
It's more anime.
Okay.
Questbuster says, Genshin Impact is like this. The O position is to confirm and the X position is to exit. Always mixes me up when I play it, at least on PC. And VG Realness confirms it's super anime. Act Deft calls it Breath of the Anime. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a Breath of the Wild vibe from it just looking at it.
Yeah, maybe there's something for you to stream next week. There's a lot of people playing this right now, and I haven't caught it yet, but it's one I'm curious about. I will say that.
I'll look into it.
Yeah. So, all right. So there you go. Big changes for the PlayStation 5 in Japan. Let's move on. Dark Sakura, a game that I don't think I've checked in on a week and a half. I'm a bad person.
Girl.
Poor ketchup.
Pumpkins.
Ketchup probably
Spoopy
doesn't
stuff.
Love her anymore. But space. I'm in space.
Space. I think I can do a pretty good fake digital voice there.
That's me playing No Man's Sky.
Anyway. Okay. I've been watching your Twitter. But at any rate, we did have the new fall update for Animal Crossing New Horizons. 1.5 came out that gives us the Halloween event and more autumn-themed content. We can... I know we're still shaking those trees for our pine cones and acorns, which some of those items play into the new crafting that involves pumpkins. which is also funny because some of the items that you can get recipes for, also you can buy as a single buy item at Nooks, and it's only one person who lives on your island can buy it. But yeah, you're growing pumpkins, so the kind of farming thing that had been hinted at before seems to be fully incorporated, at least in terms of raising your pumpkins. So at any rate, it looks like there is going to be another update in November. The images that were posted along with it were Franklin the turkey and Jingle the reindeer, who Franklin had the Thanksgiving Harvest Festival thing, and Toy Day was for Jingle. Jingle's fucking freaky, almost as freaky as Zipper. We don't know exactly if they're going to work the same way as before, but hopefully we'll get a lot more good stuff. You know, one of the other things with this current update is that you can revisit dreams, so you can visit dream islands that you visited before are going to show up on a list so that you don't have to re-enter the code. And there's also going to be Animal Crossing Amiibo card reissues, Series 1 through Series 4, $6 a pack. Now, I still have all of the NPCs. So I'm probably going to still buy them and get a new binder to put them in. But the Animal Crossing Edition Switch console is also going to be returning to the stores, which basically means that I hope the Pro Controller does as well, because that's what I want to get. I am having stupid drift on my favorite Joy-Cons right now, my black ones. So freaking annoying. The drift is bad. I'll put this in there. You know, when I went into the museum to go, try to get my fossils appraised, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get up to do something with the cat. And when I came back, my character was sitting in the butterfly room with it doing that little wobble thing when you keep trying to get up in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So I was like,
I don't think it made the show roll tonight, but Nintendo's been having to kind of defend that in court a little bit. And the lawyers were kind of given this line about, it's not a problem. It's not a widespread problem or anything. You know, they're kind of. But it also, and there was a good discussion of this on our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. And I kind of agree that, the lawyers can't exactly admit, yes, there's a problem, because they're there to defend Nintendo, whether we like it or not. So, if the lawyers were to go, yeah, there's a problem, then Nintendo's going to lose on the spot. So, but that headline is kind of everywhere about Nintendo says there's no problem with Joy-Cons. Well, in court, they kind of have to, but I think we all know, if it hasn't already been ordered that they fix those things for free, which I think Nintendo's been doing, they're gonna soon. But there might be some cash thing but it'll be like $5. So we'll see.
Well, the big thing is that I actually, what I might do is that if I go to send mine in, I might document the process for people, kind of bloggy style.
Mm-hmm.
Bloggy style. I knew it was bad when I was even watching a video of Asuka, the WWE women's Raw champion.
Mm-hmm.
Who's absolutely freaking adorable. Kana-chan TV on YouTube, where she sat and fixed her own Joy-Con.
I was like, what the hell does she have to do with the Joy-Con? Oh, okay, she has a video.
Yeah. Well, she also built a one-up cabinet and all kinds of stuff. And
hey, so did
I. Kirby sidestep. The Kirby sidestep is so adorable. When I was sitting watching her fix one of them, I was like, yeah, I'm going to have Nintendo do that for me. Thank you very much. But it's bad when you've got, pretty much celebrities going out saying, yeah, mine's doing the same thing. It's doing the same thing. So I'll document the process when I send mine in. I just have to get another Joy-Con to replace it in the interim.
Looking in chat, let's see. Bobby Blackwolf points out that Asuka is a former DS game developer. SSJ100 Matt says, yep. Asuka was a game tester before wrestling. Look, I'm 42 yes. years old, and the only Asuka I remember came on this show after she was on a show called The Tester and was second or third voted off the island. Do you remember that?
Yes,
I remember that. That's the only Asuka I remember. And then she was on another reality show. She was on the nerd show years later. The Revenge of the Nerds.
I'm doing just like the thing is, yeah, you're telling me stuff I already know, but people don't know that I already know more than I seem to let on. So
well, I don't. So there, I didn't know any of that. Yeah. So
you know, you can just buy replacement parts to replace the analog stick on those Joy-Cons. I've done that already for four of them. Three out of the four work fine. This last one's being a little bit fiddly, but the rest of them work just fine. So I just have to figure out what's wrong there. I think it's they have the ribbon cables you have to like shove in to their connectors, and they didn't design it very well, and so I don't think it's getting pushed in all the way, and so it's causing problems. But yeah, it's like $10 in parts to fix it, and then like if you get through iFixit, like the tools are like another $5. It's really cheap.
What the fuck is happening on Fester's Quest on your screen? They're all like making this strange, awkward fist motion. Is that the end of the game? It must be.
Probably.
They're all cheering for the Addams Family. Oh, yeah, that's definitely the end of the game.
Well, back to the story.
Sorry, okay. Jamie.
Also going on right now is that you can buy Halloween costumes at the Able Sisters, which I've just been buying and giving to people so that I have them in my catalog. So yeah, you know, pretty cool stuff. If you are playing and don't have me on your friends list, shoot me a message on my Twitter @DarkSakura, and maybe we'll play some Animal Crossing together.
And maybe I'll get back into it. I have to get ketchup in a costume or something.
I still need to give you your ketchup.
Oh, that's right. Yay, I'm excited about that.
I got Rob a ketchup plushie. So.
My time with Animal Crossing may be temporary, but my love of ketchup is eternal. Just to make that very clear.
You are welcome to both versions of ketchup.
All right. Let's move on, Loki.
All right. So this is another kind of head scratcher, but apparently Google had announced a bunch of new products coming out, including a brand new Chromecast. And you would think that being a Chromecast and, you know, working with your TV and stuff, that would probably support, I don't know, the Stadia service that they have. Well, apparently, no, it does not support Stadia at all yet. That's coming sometime next year. Why? That doesn't make any sense. But that's apparently what they're doing. So, fantastic. Glad to see Google supporting their own services.
Google has fucked this thing so hard, and they have nobody but themselves to blame. And I'm sorry to any Stadia fans out there, because I do know people that use the service and enjoy it. And I'm not trying to knock it. I'm actually kind of angry for you that Google isn't doing a better job trying to prop this service up, because I'm reasonable, and I understand 2020 has been a shit year. Still, March should have been about the time frame that we were seeing Stadia available to people in just their web browser, wherever it was supposed to be on more in more places, and like none of that is happening at all. And I'm not so sure the pandemic is to really blame for that at this point, especially if Google is continuing to put out these new devices and not even support their own shit on it.
Well,
like
here's here's the other weird thing about that, though. So not only are they not supporting it with their brand new device, but that brand new device is replacing their Chromecast Ultra, which did actually play Stadia games, and that's being discontinued.
The problem is this was Google's opportunity to get the jump on everyone else wanting to get in there. We just talked last week about Amazon and the Luna service, because so now that's going to show up. xCloud, you know, we're going to see more and more of that as Xbox Series X launches. And obviously Game Pass is already a big deal. And when that gets coupled with xCloud, that's going to be a huge deal. So it's just really frustrating to watch Google kind of piss this away. That's my point.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's not great. Looking in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Miltonius Games says Google is real good at not supporting their services. ActDef says, don't want to say we said so about Stadia, but we totally said so. I just feel bad for people that are adopting it and trying to make it their thing. And then it's like, you know, to watch them just kind of let it go is
pretty
frustrating.
Here's the ironic part about it, though, is so the new Chromecast that they have, while it's not officially supported, you can sideload the xCloud service onto that and actually run xCloud on that brand new Chromecast, but you can't do Stadia.
Yikes.
Fun times.
Big yikes. All right, let's talk a little bit about some Pokemon news. So there was a Pokemon DLC direct of sorts this week that talked a little bit about the Crown Tundra DLC, the second set of DLC for Pokemon Sword and Shield, and it revealed some new things about the expansion, including some new Pokemon, like Galarian version of Slowking, that's going to be kind of like a psychic type of Slowking, kind of cool. There's a Gigantamax Melmetal that's going to be coming into the game that I believe is only available through a connection with Pokemon Go somehow. I don't remember all the details on that, but seeing as Melmetal kind of comes in through Pokemon Go, that makes sense. So there will be that. Dynamax Adventures, where you're going to be teaming up with other trainers to go through a Pokemon den. So it's kind of like you're going, and you use a temporary team to do it. So it's kind of like a dungeon, a special dungeon of sorts. And then more legendary Pokemon, of course. We knew they were going to be making a comeback, so a lot of old legendaries coming back. And a special event with Pikachu, which means you can go back into Sword or Shield, and you can get Pikachu and, I guess, 8 different caps. Just like in Pokemon Go. They love to give away the Pokemon with the different caps. And then they also talked briefly in the presentation about the connection between Pokemon Go and Pokemon Home, and that is going to be implemented by the end of the year. So you'll be able to send Pokemon that you got in Pokemon Go over to Pokemon Home. How often and how frequent and how free, that is yet to be determined. This feature was getting a lot of shit initially because it looked like, I guess, the data miners found that there are coins involved in Pokemon Go to be able to transfer Pokemon over. But it does appear, and I think Niantic clarified after the fact, you'll be able to do some for free, and then, like, there'll be a cooldown, and then if you want to go around the cooldown, you have to pay coins. So
that's stupid. Yeah. But wasn't it Pokemon Home that they had, like, the arbitrary, like, limits to the number of Pokemon that they stored or something like that? Was that that same service? I don't remember.
I don't remember if it was that or if it was the one before it. That was on the 3DS. So I don't totally remember. But anyway, there's that. And then, of course, there was a lot of discussion on Pokemon Go this week. Pokemon Go sunset quite a few of the COVID-19 precautions because from their perspective, I don't think they're trying to say the pandemic is over, but they are saying that people are going outside and exercising. So the things that they were kind of cutting back that you have to go outside and walk around to do, they don't really see the need to do that anymore because even in spite of the pandemic, people are still trying to be active and walk around and do those sorts of things. So
they shouldn't be encouraging people.
Yeah, it's... You know, I think it's a little soon to be doing that. And it's interesting because Niantic has done this across the board. Ingress also sunset some of the changes they had for the pandemic. I'm assuming the Harry Potter game did as well, although I haven't been following that. I just have too many games to play and I kind of let that one fall apart. But my assumption is they've probably made a similar change in that game as well. Meanwhile, though, Orna, the other game Loki and I always talk about, Orna is still keeping their changes intact. And that's like the reduced cooldowns on Gauntlet and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool.
But even still, even if it didn't have that intact, I mean, it's like you can play that game from home pretty easily, which is nice.
You can.
They added some things to like actual like walking around and stuff like that for different quests. But like you can still play that at home for the most part.
Now, ActDeft is pointing out in chat, the changes to the incubators, though, weren't as bad as we thought. The spawns from incense now are about every 1 minute and 30 seconds to 2 minutes in between. So it's not quite, and he says incense, not incubators, but the changes aren't quite as drastic as we were assuming, but Niantic could have kind of done some damage control earlier on and pointed that out. So there is that whole element to consider. So anyway, there was that whole roundtable we did on this, but I'm curious, you guys, any further thoughts? So Jamie, you're kind of like, they shouldn't really be rolling anything back on this. It doesn't
really
make
sense.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, even if the numbers are telling them that, yeah, people are going outside, the fact remains is that people really shouldn't, and by them changing this, it's indirectly encouraging more of this dangerous activity. Mm-hmm. I mean, America is stupid. Okay. Just saying it. Mm-hmm. Full of very, very stupid people. while other countries have been doing things right and have, you know, reduced spread, certainly in the U.S., it's not a wise idea to do this. And if they're doing these across the board, then with as big of a user base there is here, and I'm not saying, oh, they have to do everything just because the U.S. said so, America, whatever, you know. But I'm saying that if they're going to do it across the board, they need to take stuff like this into account.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we haven't exactly been led well through this whole situation. And I'll just kind of point at what's going on in the world.
Somewhere in the direction of Walter Reed Hospital.
Y'all got news on your various devices. I don't have to say shit. You know it. Like, you know what's going on. And so it's, you know. Anyway, sorry, I won't dive into that too much. It's hard not to. It's fucking hard not to. It is. Today is March 234th of 2020, and it is kind of hard not to bring up this shouldn't be like this. It is so frustrating. We should not be in little boxes on our fucking Discord call anymore. We should be able to do this show in studio, but we can't. So it's a little bit frustrating. Anyhow, and now it's like, now it just seems like every dumb fuck thing that happens is just this sentence gets extended, and it's not even things that we're doing. Arg. Anyway, now Bobby Blackwolf says, ironically, the CDC says that going outside by yourself is safe as long as you're not near other people. But I mean, nobody believes the CDC anymore. Well,
do you see how many people I see hanging out at the park? Or crowding around tables, even with outdoor dining?
I understand where you're going with this, because yes, you can go by yourself outside and walk, and that's not an issue. But the problem, and I get it, the problem is that when you start to open the door to, well, this is okay, then that leads to, well, this is okay too. I can meet up with my friends at the park, and we're outside, so we can take our masks off and gossip and da-da-da-da and all this stuff. And that's kind of the mindset that tit leads to tat, if that makes sense.
Well, they opened up playgrounds again in California, so that'll be fun.
Hmm.
Well, I'm just going to go out there with Lysol and spray everybody down.
Well, don't touch the playground. That's my plan. All right, anyway. Let's move on. We got other stuff to get to, and I think the next story is from Dark Sakura.
That it is. So, and we've talked about Ubisoft's shenanigans before, for lack of a better description for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they there is a survey published by Yves Guillemot, their a CEO, who said that the employee survey stated that the company has had about 25% of the employees have experienced or witnessed workplace misconduct. They surveyed about 14,000 people anonymously, and one in four said that they've experienced it or seen it, and that they didn't feel, one in five said that they didn't feel fully respected or safe in the work environment. And women and non-binary employees were more likely to experience or witness harassment than men. Because, and you know, I'm going to go on a little tirade-y thing maybe in half a moment. I'm sorry, I am stuck. Okay, there we go. But yeah, we do, because, you know, we're treated as second-rate citizens, because for the most part, you know, if you are not white, cisgender, male, then you're not default. White, cisgender, male is default, you know, for people. So, of course, you know, this is our experience. But also, with that survey, it was also done through a third party, which is actually awesome that they didn't do it internally. And that they started this shortly after those initial allegations came out. They, of course, you know, a good number of their executives and leaders have been fired, quite a few of them, actually. But going back to the original letter, Guillemot, went in that letter to explain how the company is hoping that they can deal with all of this and to make the workplace safer. they're implementing new mechanisms to anonymously report harassment accusations so they can be investigated. And they're revising their company code of conduct and doing compulsory anti-sexism and anti-harassment training across the company. So, you know, one of the other things, too, is that they're also working on diversifying the company so that it can move their levels of female employees from 22% to 24% by 2023. It should be higher than that. Sorry, women are 50% of the gamers. We should be 50% of the development, just saying. But at any rate, it looks like they are taking it seriously. I'm hoping that this isn't just, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Performative?
Just talk.
All talk, no action?
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking of. But I want to say that with a reaction like this, with having called in a research firm and so many people just being outed, for their terrible behavior, that I'm thinking it's valid. I'm thinking that it's real and it's good to see happening. I think that they could still do a lot better than this, but I'm glad to see it happening. You know, I keep thinking back to this one thing that was going around Facebook for a while where this lady had been, said she doesn't get anything done and has a hard time working. And then when she and her boss switched computers and he was using her email, he saw it happening. And it's absolutely disgusting that the things that women experience, and I'll go in further and say non-binary as well, isn't believed until a man experiences it is disgusting. And that it took so many people to suffer before anything was done about this, it's absolutely disgusting. And so I'm at least glad to see something's happening. Lip service was the word I was thinking of, by the way.
There you go. It's nice to see like the tangible action items. It's nice to see that path to, okay, not just we're recognizing the problem, but here's how we're going to fix it. It's kind of like when you had a lot of companies responding to the social justice movement that was happening over the summer and continues to happen, obviously, with Black Lives Matter. And you saw some companies that, had a nice graphic for a day. And you saw some companies that really outlined steps to how they're going to help diversify the industry. And I would point out, with as much crap as we've given them over the years, Niantic had one of the really superior responses in the whole Black Lives Matter issue with, here's how we're going to diversify our industry and where we're putting money and the commitments we're making and so forth. So it's nice to see Ubisoft making like those, it's one thing to have a graphic or put out a statement or say something. It's another to actually see the steps. But now, and as Dark Soccer just pointed out, it's about making sure the steps are followed and not just lip service. But for me, it's really obviously shocking to hear about the 25% number. 25% had experienced harassment at Ubisoft. Was that what the figure was? 25%?
Yes, something around those lines.
So that is way too high, as I'm sure we all recognized. It should be zero. So 25 is way too high. My concern is Ubisoft's been the one in the spotlight for the last few months, and rightfully so, based on all these things we're hearing. But my concern is what's happening at all the other companies. Is this third party going to be evaluating other companies within the industry as well? Because they should. Now, I fully realize how these outside surveys work. Ubisoft paid this vendor to come in and do something from a third-party perspective. But I feel like a lot of our big companies need to look at running a survey, running a study like this, and making sure that they have numbers that are close to, very close to, or at zero when it comes to these types of things. And if not, what are the steps that they're going to take to fix it? Because I kind of think Ubisoft is probably not the only company. It's the only one we know about, but it's probably not the only one that, needs it.
You'd think at this point, like, that the ESA would step in and advocate for something, but I guess
that would require the ESA to be competent. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I have said this before, and I know I'm being a bitch, but the reality is they're not. And until they take steps to show that they are, I'm going to keep being bitchy when it comes to the ESA. I more tend to look at what ACDEFT is saying in chat, and I think one word, unionize, for fuck's sakes. And I think people... Yes. People kind of think, oh, isn't the ESA their union? Well, clearly no. not. Clearly
maybe
not.
For the companies themselves. But
for the executives, maybe. But the ESA is as tone deaf as all those executives. So, you know, and we had that story, 6 weeks ago about that tweet the ESA put up, and it was really tone deaf. And anyway, I don't want to retread old territory because it just makes me upset. But I think that the short story is the ESA is still not fixed, so they're not going to fix this problem either. They're useless. So yes, I clearly heard support from Dark Soccer there too. The games industry needs some type of union to stick up for the workers because no one else is. And that's that.
And really, in this, by unionizing, they're taking steps to protect themselves. They're putting the power in their own hands to do this on behalf of everyone who's added their voice to it.
Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf saying the ESA is not a union. It's a lobbying group for the companies. Yep. Phoenix 7726 says the ESA is a consumer rights org in the same way the NRA is. They're both corporate shills masking as giving a fuck. Bobby Blackwolf clarifies the ECA is the consumer rights group. Is that still... I thought they had their own set of issues a few years back. Are they still around? I could be wrong. I just haven't heard much out of them in a while. Black Compat in chat says, I have nothing nice to say about the ESA. Co-signed, my friend. All right. Anyhow, so let's hope other companies take Ubisoft's lead in this regard and have a third-party evaluation done. I think that would be very meaningful. And in the meantime, I hope our game workers out there are able to unionize in the future. So, all right.
I just still think that I've been very, very blessed with the company that I work for, that they've always been on top of it. And that's why, with how easy that they make it where I work, that other companies aren't doing the same thing. You know, it's just really irritating.
Yeah. And I think my company is great too, but I also don't work in the games industry, so it's very different. So all right, moving on, let's get to another story. Loki.
Yeah, so let's talk about other terrible things and Fallout 76. So Fallout 76 has had a lot of problems, one of those being their extreme monetization of the game itself. They treat it like a free-to-play game, but it is not a free-to-play game. But they surely want to monetize it. So the brand new thing that you can now buy is basically your own vault. So they offer it in three different sizes. So this would be like an instance lobby that you can actually decorate and do stuff in. So the utility room, which is something that apparently you can get by doing some questing in the game, the lobby, and then the atrium, which is like a vault size thing. So the vault lobby is apparently going to be one of the free monthly items for Fallout First members. And of course, that, if you don't remember, is their $13 a month subscription, or $100 a year, because, you know, this trash game needs a $100 a year subscription. Or, of course, you can purchase all this stuff separately in the Atom shop. Of course, they haven't said how much it's going to cost, but considering that a blue skin for your power armor is $20, I mean, you can imagine what this might cost. It's going to be ridiculous. Neat, I guess, if you're enjoying this game, but I can't at this point. At least it'll be coming to Game Pass someday, but... Ugh.
Isn't it on Game Pass now? Or am I... Oh, no. I thought it was already on Game Pass.
Maybe it is.
This was outside the Bethesda thing from last week.
They were literally, you know, giving it away for free at one point. With the purchase of game systems.
Okay, thank you. Multiple people confirming it is on Game Pass.
Okay, well, still not worth $100 a month, or $100 a year. So, I don't know. But
several,
it's coming.
Several people in chat referencing PlayStation Home. SG100 Matt says PlayStation Vault Home. SG100 Matt says PlayStation Home was ahead of its time. You know, I kind of agree. I don't know if I would say ahead of its time, but PlayStation Home is one of those things I oddly miss. with as much shit as we gave it back in the day, and this is not how it always goes. You give something shit. But I think it was, and so that you don't also accuse us of, well, maybe you shouldn't have given it shit then. Maybe we'd still be here. I think there was potential in PlayStation Home that was never quite fully realized. And I remember when it got more towards the end, you started to see more of that. And I remember we had a listener that was like super into PlayStation Home and built these elaborate spaces, and it was really cool. And then we did something to piss him off, and he hasn't been around since. But
we'll have to talk a little bit later. We will get to something that does touch on that.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Then I'll shut up. Then we'll come back later. Okay. Let's see. Bonds 006 says, I miss PlayStation Home. Had a cliffside villa, really swanky, view to the ocean, saw the waves, and hear crashes against the rocks. As Joan Hunter Matt says, I miss it. PlayStation Home would have been great for this pandemic. And Bobby Blackwolf says, on a Bethesda and Microsoft related note, Doom Eternal did come to console Game Pass. That's the new one from this week. So, all right. Let's move on. We've got some more stories. I will do this next one that is about, speaking of Sony, let's talk about Peter Parker getting changed in Marvel Spider-Man. So Marvel Spider-Man is going to be getting its remastered edition, of course, on PlayStation 5. And what's interesting about it is that they're going to be changing Peter Parker's look for this. And this is a big thing that's been all over the internet because Peter Parker basically got a new face. There's a new model for it, and many people commenting, gosh, the new face model looks a lot like Tom Holland. It's not Tom Holland, but it's like, you know, the Tom Holland you ordered on Wish. Okay, that's who they got to do the PlayStation.
Tom Holland.
Yeah. Tom Holland is the new face. No, I don't know who this guy is. I'm sure he's...
It's
the face
close,
model looks good.
Yeah. Ben Jordan is actually the name of the actor. No, and I think he does look good. I'm being very tongue-in-cheek when I say he's a fine-looking lad. I have nothing at all wrong with his looks, but it is a lot more in the realm of Tom Holland, don't you think? A little bit. Anyway. So anyway, they talked about, oh, we loved working with John Bubanac, who I guess was the original on the original game, but now we've cast Ben Jordan to be the face model on the PlayStation 5. They didn't really say much more about this. They just said, as we discussed the franchise's future and moving to the PlayStation 5, it quickly became apparent that an even more believable-looking character made finding a better facial match for Yuri Lowenthal, who we all love as Peter, a necessity. So interesting. I guess that is the voice actor is Yuri Lowenthal. So, yeah, there you go. A new actor coming into Spider-Man. And there's a whole YouTube that shows the new look and all that good stuff. I mean, actors get recast. Obviously, Tom Holland is the third actor to play Spider-Man in modern times. And that's not even, you know, counting going way back, but in modern times, shall we say, after Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield is the it's not common to see
the rumors
recast.
Well, I was gonna say, to get in the rumors, we may actually see them again as Spider-Man, considering that the next movie is rumored to be surrounding the multiverse, considering Electro's supposed to come back.
Yeah,
so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. So, let's see. Other comments in chat. Miltonius Games says this is probably something they were looking to do for a sequel anyway. Bobby Blackwolf says they were all supposed to be in the animated Spider-Man.
Well, there's still opportunity for the second one.
Yeah.
That's right around the corner.
Anyway, it's an interesting change. We'll see. We'll see how this game sells. I know a lot of people are going to be looking forward to the... sorry, that Mr. Smush is throwing a fit in the other room. What is he doing? You find a toy or something? Anyway, I know a lot of people are going to be looking forward to the Miles Morales version on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4, as the case may be. So this holiday season. No. All right. Well, let's travel back to a classic time. Let's go back to a time when you didn't recast actors. Because you got one chance. You got it, and it was on the cartridge.
Actors, what's that?
Exactly. Or in this case, on the disc. And once it was there, it was stuck there. It's the classic game of the week. Darksoccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you brats should be checking this game out. Enough of your modern, newfangled stuff. Check out this classic. It's over 10 years old.
How dare you?
How dare you? Darksoccer, what is the classic game of the week?
I picked Resident Evil Gun Survivor 2, and I'm saying Gun Survivor, Biohazard Gun Survivor. instead of what we got in the U.S. And I'm very specific on that one because, honestly, I really, really, really enjoyed the arcade version very, very much. So what this game is a light gun shooter that was developed by Capcom in the Resident Evil series. It was actually developed in conjunction with Namco for arcade. It ran on the Sega Naomi board, and it did get a PS2 release in 2001 in Japan and in Europe in 2002. And it is the second in the Gun Survivor series. It's a sequel to Biohazard Gun Survivor. And this one is adapted from Resident Evil Code Veronica. And actually some of the enemies in the game came from Resident Evil 3 as well. So basically you play as Claire looking for her brother after, you know, the garbage in Raccoon City. And so you have two modes that you play in this one. You can either control Claire or you can control Steve. Steve. So you have the light gun support. On the PlayStation 2 version, you can actually use the GunCon 2 from Namco. Although you can also use a DualShock controller to play. So basically you have several stages as you go through there. You can move the gun around, you can shoot stuff. But for me, the arcade version really is the big thing. Like, that's actually the big thing for me on this one. Because as you're going through it, and it when I first saw it, it seemed a little, I don't know, kind of counterproductive, if that makes sense. Where you're actually using the gun to do the controlling. So you are pushing that gun to move forward. I wish that people on the podcast could see this, but like you have the gun as you're going and you'll move forward to move it. And, you know, you can sort of strafe with it. And I thought that controller system was just so much fun. A big assault rifle, the one that I played. But as you go through, you do have, different modes. For example, if you play as Claire, then you save Steve and vice versa. You also have a timer that times out. And so if your time runs out, then the nemesis is going to start chasing you and kill you if you don't get to an exit. So I guess that's the tie in there. But, again, you have to defeat bosses, you have to defeat zombies, you get a better score as you go along, and you get a combo multiplier for how quickly and how smoothly you defeat, you know, the enemies. But it was first announced as Biohazard Fire Zone in February 2001, because, you know, Capcom said they were going to be working with Namco to make the other game, and then they did it. It was out on the Naomi systems, and it was going to they were going to merge it with Resident Evil Code Veronica. Basically, since Naomi and Dreamcast were designed with the same hardware, but they had footage available for AOU Expo in February 2001, but had no voice acting in any of the cutscenes. Just subtitles for conversations. When we finally got it, we actually never got the arcade version in the U.S. I played it in Las Vegas. Thank you, Schmegtastic. Thank you for the biddies. It did get, the only U.S. release it got was on PS2 as Gun Survivor. Well, the Japanese one was Gun Survivor 2 Biohazard Code Veronica. In the U.S., of course, we got it as Resident Evil Survivor Code Veronica. Because you don't want to use gun in the name, me. Even though we had plenty of other games that had gun in the name. So, but anyway,
how's this? How's this? Because I got confused by this at first, too. How is this different from the other Code Veronica game? Because there's another game that's called Code Veronica.
Well, because it's not, this is a gun game. This is built on Code Veronica as a straight up gun game. Now, Dan and I had this conversation going, and this was back, like, you know, when the Dreamcast first came out, because, you know, on the gun for the Dreamcast, you have a D-pad, right?
Right.
We always thought that this game should have come out on the Dreamcast, where you use, you know, like, if you're holding the gun, then you use the D-pad, you know, with what would have been, like, your, not your trigger, but to pull the, to cock the gun.
Now, come on, you still would have played it with a fishing rod.
I would have tried. I mean, of course I would have tried. But that you would basically use, you know, the D-pad and then shoot. I wish y'all could see what I had on the screen. Like this, you know. So you're pulling trigger and you're moving with the D-pad that way. And I think that would have been pretty fun. It was actually a shame that it didn't come out on Dreamcast. But at the same time, it sucked that we didn't get the arcade version either. It was a lot of fun to play. I think that when we went to that arcade, you know, after I got my Bimani in, I spent a lot of time playing this game. I thought it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Damn shame it never came out. It's such a unique take on the shooting genre with having your gun be your controller and moving around and actually exploring instead of just having, you know, a rail experience.
All right.
So, yeah. So yeah, that's my game of the week is Gun Survivor 2 Biohazard Code Veronica.
Okay, that's Biohazard Gun Survivor 2 Code Veronica, except I think I got some of those words
Gun
out of
Survivor
order.
2 Biohazard okay. Code Veronica.
Good.
And it's still not the longest of games that I own, because, I mean, I've got, like, all the Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo for Matching Service, EX Plus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I Capcom likes those titles.
All right. Well, good. Good pick, because I honestly, that was one I was not super familiar with, but it makes sense why it was a little bit more of a niche arcade game, especially here in the States. So,
and for anyone who asks why I haven't done a pinball yet for this month, wait.
Okay.
I'm doing something appropriate, and that's all I'm going to say.
Currently on hold. All right. Let's move on. We got more show to come here. Let's get into some, and this show's got to be good enough to last for 2 weeks, with no show next week. So, let's get into some rapid fire news, and Loki is going to start us off with quickly some other stuff going around in the gaming universe.
Yep. So it's a new month. So new free games, with your subscriptions, of course. So the Xbox Games with Gold, for, the month of October, we're getting Slayaway Camp, Butcher's Cut, and Maid of Skur. And then, of course, on the Xbox 360 side, we have Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy and Costume Quest. So, pretty cool.
Are they Skurred?
You know, it's funny. It's like, as it looks like it's a horror game, so Maid of Skur is kind of funny as like a name, but I don't know.
I kind of feel like we're getting cheaper games this month, but that's okay. They're thematic with, you know, spoopy season, and I would expect maybe they're holding on to some big ones for the release of Xbox Series X. You know, like, these games are even better on Series X. Like, they're going to have some big ones in November. We'll see.
And also, you have to think that they've given out so many games so far.
They
that,
have.
You know,
I'm not complaining, I promise. This just isn't an oh my god kind of month.
This is true, yeah. So, and then, of course, Jump Rope Challenge, which was supposed to be leaving the eShop, is actually not going to be leaving the eShop now. So originally it was supposed to be removed on September 30th, but now because of, I guess, the interest in it, they are no longer going to be removing it at this time. So,
interesting precedent, cool, though, being set with them not getting rid of Jump Rope Challenge, which was supposed to be a limited time thing. Could that be a fake out when it comes to these other things like 3D All-Stars and Super Mario 35?
Maybe under promise over deliver is what they're trying to do. I don't know.
Maybe. So they can get their scarcity sales and eat it too, I guess.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. Don't set the expectation level there, but I worry that might be what they did by keeping the Jump Rope Challenge up. We'll see. I don't know. So, Bobby Blackwell saying that, well, Mario 35 needs online servers, though, and that's going to get shut down on March 31st. Jump Rope Challenge needs no online servers. Well, what if they don't shut down those online servers? I mean, that's still an option. They could just not shut it down now, anyway. They could wait a little while. But we'll see. I mean, I also understand that Super Mario 35 is... it's different. It kind of fits in a different place than Tetris 99, so we'll see. Anyway, since it is spooky season, we are revisiting lots of spooky games, and one spooky game you can revisit now is Silent Hill 4 The Room. This is now available through Good Old Games on PC for $9.99. This is interesting because we were asked, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, but I remember we got a question towards the end of the show, like, what would make you... like, look at GOG, and I was kind of like, well, when they actually go back to being old games, and we've kind of seen that a little bit, at least with Konami, in the past couple weeks, because we had the whole Metal Gear MSX version is now available, and now this, so that's kind of neat. So anyway, Silent Hill 4 The Room, of course, was originally released in 2004. It did come out for the PC then, but most of you probably played it on PlayStation 2 or the original Xbox. I believe that game did not start as a Silent Hill game. It started as something else and then kind of just became a Silent Hill game somewhere along the way. I will always fondly remember this from our very first E3. And perhaps Dark Soccer and Loki will remember this too, because this was the big game at Konami's booth. Which, you know, back in 2004, we were still all about DDR, Beatmania, and all that stuff. And they had a huge, elaborate setup for Silent Hill 4 The Room at E3 that year. I remember that. So
I have so many pictures from that. And you know me, I was practically living there. I was so happy.
Wasn't that, like, the first place you came into contact with Igarashi and just, like, bumped into him? Like, is that the one that you just always would bump into him, like, literally?
Igarashi was not the one I would bump into. I bumped into Kojima.
That's it, Kojima. Okay. I knew it was somebody Konami related.
Yeah, but I did meet, that is where I met Igarashi.
Got it.
And, you know, just chatted with him for a little bit. He's a pretty cool dude, you know, with his hat. And then that was also when we met Yamaoka.
Mm-hmm. I remember that too. I have a picture with him somewhere, but I think it's like an actual picture.
Yeah.
We hadn't quite all gone to phones yet. All right. Other rapid fire news here. Microsoft Flight Simulator, which, you know, that's a pretty awesome, it's weird to call it a game, but an awesome experience, we'll say. I've tried it a couple times. I'm really bad at it. I have to have a lot of assists on, but it's really pretty. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens when it goes to VR, because that is something that's coming. You will initially need to do this beta a Windows Mixed Reality headset, something like HP's Reverb G2. And you'll also need to have a system that meets the minimum specs and a Flight Simulator Insider membership. And that is all with the early beta. There will be a second phase that will include additional devices. Don't know which devices those are, but that is going to be in late October or early November. So VR is making its way to Flight Simulator, and that's certainly a game I would want to try it with, because Flight Simulator is just gorgeous. Like, I can see where it's very much a Zen thing. I was watching a guy that did a live stream, and he liked to do like a whole role play thing. Like, he would actually pretend he was flying the plane from like this little island here to like another place, and he would say, okay, we're gonna take the bridge to the gate and we're gonna undock the thing, and we're gonna say something to the passengers, and he'll actually go, good morning and welcome to such and such airlines flight 103 nonstop services. He'd actually role play the whole thing. I thought it was really cool. So Flight Sim's a fun game, so VR, that'll be neat. Dark Soccer, how about you? Rapid fire.
I've got some stuff. So basically, Hamster has announced a dozen of the Arcade Archives games for Switch. They actually did streams during Tokyo Game Show 2020, and so a good number that were announced were Versus Tennis, Thunder Dragon, Swimmer, Soccer, Rodland, Rabia Lepus, Pets on Pew, Nova 2001, Liquid Kids, Kuri Kinton, Guzzler, Green Beret, which we got as Russian Attack, Gradius 3, The Fairyland Story, Cosmo Police, Galavan, sorry, Benbero Bay, Arabian, and 64th Street, A Detective Story. In other news as well, Steam is doing a digital tabletop festival kicking off this month. And so it's a joint project between Valve and Arc Digital so that you can, play some fun stuff. But there's the panel that's going on about it. They are talking about different games, including Mars Horizon, talking about the Cthulhu mythos. But this begins on October 21st at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, and will run until October 26th. So live broadcast panels, lots of featured games being shown, so that'll be rad.
All right. Sounds like fun. Yep. All right. Well, since that's it for Rapid Fire News, let's travel around the world and check out some releases. What's coming out?
I propose we do 2 weeks worth of announcements.
Oh, good call. So over the next 2 weeks, what's coming out in the world? Loki, we'll start with you.
Right.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about a game called I Am Dead. So I Am Dead's coming out on...
I'm sorry to hear that.
PC, Mac, and Nintendo Switch. Eichenfell is going to be on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Ride 4 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. FIFA 21 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. G.I. Joe Operation Blackout on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC. Remothered Broken Porcelain on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Robotics Notes Dash on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Also, Robotics Notes Elite on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Torchlight 3 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Werewolf the Apocalypse, Heart of the Forest on PC, Mac, and Linux. Cook Serve Delicious 3 on PC, Nintendo Switch, and Xbox One. Cloudpunk Coming to Consoles on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Tennis World Tour 2 on Nintendo Switch. Crown Trick on PC and Nintendo Switch. NHL 21 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Postal Redux on Nintendo Switch. Zoids Wild Blast Unleash on Nintendo Switch. And last but not least, Mario Kart Live Home Circuit on Nintendo Switch.
Wow, that soon? I thought that was a November release. Gosh.
No, it's in 2 weeks.
All right, enjoy your green Mario. All right. Traveling over to Japan and checking out the releases there for 2 weeks. FIFA 21 Legacy Edition will be out on the Nintendo Switch on October 9th. Also on the Switch on October 15th, Hardcore Mecha Fighter Edition. Moon, the Premium Edition. That's that older RPG that got the remake on Switch not long ago. And Yomi wo Sakuhana also comes out in Japan in the next 2 weeks. And those are the Switch releases. And the Mario Kart Live, Mario Set, and Luigi Set also making its way out for the Switch in Japan within the next 2 weeks, probably the same day it's coming out here. On the PlayStation 4 this week, we have A-Train XP Plus comes out this week for you fans of the A-Train. I don't think I've played one of those games since the 80s PC computing era, but those are I know that sim's been around forever. FIFA 21 also comes out for the PlayStation 4 in Japan on October the 9th. And looking ahead to the week after, I don't think there's a lot of releases. Greedfall comes out in Japan, as well as that same Yomi wo Sakuhana also comes out in Japan next week while we're gone. So that's it for Japan. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
We have on the 6th, Agatha Christie, The ABC Murders. We have Nickelodeon Kart Racers 2 Grand Prix. We have FIFA 21 Champion / Ultimate Edition. On the 8th, we have Ride 4. Let's Sing. On the 9th, sorry, Let's Sing Queen, The Walking Dead Onslaught, Ben 10 Power Trip, The Survivalist, FIFA 21, Oculus Quest 2. All right, now we're getting into the 13th, sorry. G.I. Joe Operation Blackout, World of Warcraft Shadowlands Epic Edition. It's on there. Power Rangers Battle for the Grid Collector's Edition, Remothered Broken Porcelain, Sayonara Wild Hearts for Switch and PlayStation, Kunai on the 15th. Am I? Okay, good. I haven't exceeded the week. We also have on the 15th, My Universe School Teacher, Monster Truck, Mario Kart Live. On the 16th, Nightmare Boy, the VR Power Pack Raw Data plus sprint vector. NHL 21, truck driver, do not feed the monkeys. Earth Defense Force 5, 10 plus Kuna, Zoids Wild Beast Unleashed, Robotics Notes Double Pack, Pinstripe, 9 Monkeys of Shaolin, and then that's it for the next 2 weeks.
All right. So a double segment of world release dates to hold you over for a couple weeks. Lots of stuff coming out. A lot of stuff.
Yes.
I bet there'll be a lot of people picking up that Mario Kart Live. That looks like a lot of fun. Probably not me, but I can't wait to see the YouTubes of people playing them. So
I've got mine pre-ordered already.
I'm excited. Did you get Green Mario or did you get Mario?
Red Mario.
Oh.
Red Luigi.
All right. All right. Let's try to cover some other news going on. And then, of course, we have a couple emails, I believe, later on in the show and your questions
as
well.
We just got them.
Yeah, just through the show.
These are legit, anyway.
Last minute chances. All right. Anyway, well, we still got a few stories before we get to that. So let's get to our next story, Loki.
So as I was alluding to earlier, this pretty awesome fan project. So there's a service called PS1. It's PlayStation Online Emulated. And the team has gotten the Warhawk servers back up and running. So you can actually now play Warhawk on the PlayStation 3 online as if it was running on the official PlayStation servers. Now, the other thing they've also gotten working as well is the Twisted Metal Black Online servers. Now, what they're working on right now, what's going to be coming out later, SOCOM Confrontation, Wipeout, and PlayStation Home.
Okay. There's where that's coming back.
Yes, very interesting. But if you're looking to see how to actually do it, it involves basically just changing DNS server information on your console, which is pretty simple to redirect to theirs, and then it just functions.
Interesting.
So, yeah, PSONE.online, and go check it out.
Okay. All right. I'm curious to see what people end up building in PlayStation Home in these days. I wonder if they can update with their own stuff or no, it's really just the server stuff. Huh.
I don't know how that's going to work.
All right, we'll see.
It'll be interesting to see how that functions.
For sure. All right, let's move on and talk about some Twitch licensed music for your streams. So Twitch has increased some of the legal music, if you will, that you can play on your streams. I don't know if you guys remember, but a couple months ago, some of the record companies really started doing like a mass takedown, cease and desist type of thing on people that were playing games over just their Spotify random music, and then clips would get saved and all this stuff. You know, basically the record companies found out, what? People are playing music and this is a thing we can make money off of? Yeah, so they kind of start to shut all that down. But now some, you know, record labels are finding that this is a pretty good way to get the news out about your different music. So Soundtrack by Twitch is something that is in beta, but there are over a million licensed tracks for use in streams. But what's interesting is that some of it, so there's a lot of you know, the types of stuff you would expect to be in public domain, like a lot of, you know, simple loop type of things. But there are some, you know, mid-size labels, I guess, that are coming up, indie labels, including things like Monster Cat, SoundCloud, Empire, and one that caught my attention and was also pointed out on Discord when this was posted, Anjuna Beats. I don't know if I say that right. Sorry, I've always only read it. So Anjuna Beats, which is Above and Beyond's label. So it's kind of neat that they have that as well. So we don't know exactly everything that's going to be there yet, but I think you can go in the beta and kind of look at some of it, and there's a pretty good diversity of stuff in there. So it's nice to see that that is available as a way to have music in your streams, and for people that want to listen to music while they play games and not worry about a cease and desist, you just are not going to be able to play things like, you know, Britney and Madonna and things like that, because that is still music that the labels are not wanting you to play. So
yeah, I know it's not listed there. There's an artist that I like listening to all the time. Of course, now I can't remember their names, but they had actually, I had it on my last stream they did with the Lego building stuff. They had put out a video talking about all their music is now stream safe as well. Gunship was the artist that they did that. So it's like a lot of the retro wave stuff.
Nice.
If you're interested in that. Or synthwave and that type of stuff.
The only stuff you need to be very careful of are the games that have soundtracks in them. A lot of like racing games and sports games. That's why back in the day when I was streaming things like Forza 3 and Forza 4, I would always be on the classic music channel. Because I wouldn't want to get my... and plus, it's fun to race to classic music. But yeah, you wouldn't want to get your stream shut down because you just accidentally played music. That's also why... Yes, you do see DDR streams and Beatmania streams, but not always something you can watch on demand. So
yeah, there's only certain songs you can play on those. Like I found that they like to monetize Synchronized Love, so you can't play that.
Be careful. All right.
That's bad.
A few more stories for you guys. Dark Sakura.
So, I do, don't I? I thought that I had... That's right, we're doing email later.
Later,
I was in email mode. Sorry. So there were two members of a console hacking and piracy organization that were arrested and charged with fraud. They're called Team Executer, Xecuter. And one of them is named Gary Bowser. Also, the other one is Max Loarn. They were arrested in the Dominican Republic. And they made a line of tools for cracking lockdown gaming hardware. They were best known for their Nintendo hacks, including a USB item called the SX Pro that allows the Nintendo Switch to run pirated games. They are for profit. They were working in the emulation communities. Now, while emulation communities are open source and don't want to sell anything, they were like, oh yeah, fuck it, we're making some money on this shit. And so they have been arrested, their charges filed, and they face prison time if convicted, including 20 years for each charge of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, actual wire fraud, conspiracy to commit money laundering, with up to 5 years for some of the lesser charges. There's no trial date yet.
But of course, the story is everywhere because the guy is named Bowser.
Yeah,
just like
I'm just familiar with them. I've been a purveyor of Team Executor products in the past.
Interesting.
With the Xbox 360, they used to have. I don't know if I've gotten their kit for the 360. I know on the Wii I had a mod chip by them. Maybe on the 360 too. I can't remember, but yeah. But I think back then they were selling mainly just like tools and hardware to do like the hacks yourself and then everything else you kind of do. But now these newer systems, they're charging for like firmwares and stuff. Mm. So it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You might be able to say, oh, well, it's, you know, you don't have to necessarily use this for piracy, but granted it doesn't stop you from using it for piracy, but there's been like other methods to crack the Switch that have blocked piracy, but these obviously were different.
Yeah.
All right.
So there you go.
Okay. Let's move on. Just a couple more stories, and then we'll get to those emails. Loki.
Yes. So, man, it seems like it's been so long since we've talked about Farmville. But I guess it has been a while since the game did launch almost 11 years ago. And now we don't really talk about it as often, but it is going to be closing soon. So Facebook apparently, or they're going to be closing the servers for good on December 31st, 2020. So interesting that it's been this long since Zynga's been running this game. But I guess it's just not what it used to be anymore.
Yep, and don't worry, for those of you that missed the soundtrack, my ex has it burned to a CD somewhere, so that's how I know this game is old. I've been with Alan for 10 years, but my ex was the one that played this back when it was, like, big, so that would have been, like, 12 years ago, so.
But just because we're talking about Farmville here, you can't forget Farmville 2,
Electric
and of
Boogaloo,
course, they're going to be releasing Farmville 3 soon, so that's why Farmville 1 is going away, because
they want you to play Farmville 3 deep.
Exactly. So, it's just,
All right. So, confession time, who played Farmville? I played a little bit of it just because
My ex kind of got me hooked on it. I wouldn't say hooked, though. I played a little bit. Your mom played Farmville?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A lot of it.
Orange Riot in chat reminds us, very first thing I had to do when I got my Facebook account is that I had to block Farmville requests. Remember the day of game requests on Facebook when that, oh my God.
Oh yeah. I remember blocking all those.
Oh, I'm still blocking those meme sites.
I'm Facebook free for 3 months now. But I remember, Google Plus, that was a big thing when it debuted, was that it was putting all the game requests in a separate feed. Again, Google had everything in position, ready to take on the world, and then they just shat the bed. It was unfortunate.
I don't tend to use Facebook too much nowadays, aside from there's a few like special interest groups that I'm a part of.
I can't even imagine with what's going on in the world what Facebook is like right now. No, ma'am. But I miss my Survivor fake games that were on Facebook.
I think I'm like in just in a bunch of groups. Like, there's Shaunigans, which is the local like DDR kind of scene over here. There's the DDR Bomani machine owners thing. There's the Candy Cab stuff. You know, I have a local like town thing talking about stuff going on around here. That's about it. I don't actually look at anything else because it's just it's a mess.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about one more story, which is about the Commodore 64, an amazing thing that's near and dear to my heart. Well, it's a game that's been kind of re-released and ported several times, now getting a Commodore 64 port. It's Another World. You know that game, right? It kind of was the one that, it has a like shadowy, but it was very lifelike when it kind of came out, comic booky kind of how it looked.
What do they call that? It's rotoscoped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was originally on the Amiga, which was in some ways the successor to the Commodore 64. I know some of you out there, what about the Commodore 128? Okay, but the Commodore 128 was like a 64 plus, right? So the Amiga in many ways was the successor to the C64. So it's not like a huge leap of faith to see that this is something that has been demade for the Commodore 64. It's been scaled down to fit the 8-bit processor that the Commodore 64 provides. And you can see there's a nice little YouTube out there if you want to see some of this and so forth. And what is also notable about this is that the unofficial port caught the attention of the creator of Another World, Eric Chahi, who then went to Twitter to say, hey, this is pretty impressive. So instead of legal cease and desist, shut it down, it's kind of nice to see the creator going, ooh, you did a good job. So anyway, if you want to check out Another World, you could get the legal versions on PC, Amiga, Atari ST, Sega Mega Drive, Super Nintendo, Panasonic 3DO, Jaguar, Sega Mega CD, iOS, PS3, PS4, Nintendo 3DS, Wii U, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, Mac, PlayStation Vita, Windows Mobile, Apple IGS, and Symbian compatible devices. Like we said, this game was everywhere else anyway. So pretty cool.
That's pretty insane. I mean, that's almost like that where they're porting Dragon's Lair to the Commodore 64,
yes.
I think.
Well, okay. So if you're going to bring that up, and let's transition into the listener roundtable here. We'll get to the mailbag in a moment. But since you're going to bring up Commodore 64 and Dragon's Lair, there was a Dragon's Lair game on Commodore 64. There was the first part was Dragon's Lair, and the second part was Escape from Singe's Castle. And I remember these games because I owned them, and they were the music in them is some of my favorite Commodore 64 music they ever made. Like the level, there's a level in the game with these balls that roll back and forth. I wish I could find it for you guys.
I know what you mean.
But, oh man, if I could find it somewhere. And I think the ball level was in Escape from Singe's Castle, but it's some of the best Commodore 64 music out there. But it is not like the arcade version. It did not play like that. It was very, very hard. It was more of a platforming game with scenes inspired by those scenes on the Laserdisc game, but it was not a direct translation of the Laserdisc game. The project you are referring to is probably a direct translation of the Laserdisc game.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of, but
I'll have to link it on Twitter later or something, just because I love that music. Like, the Dragon's Lair has some of the best music I ever heard on Commodore 64. Okay, we'll get to the email bag, but we already have roundtable questions coming in chat. So let me get this first one. No One Special 77 says, roundtable question.
I'm reasonably sure that we've all bought a game or two from the used bin at some store at some point over the years, if only because we wanted a new game to play, and we might not have had the money for a new release. So I ask this, has there been a used game that you bought that you ended up regretting, and why? Oh, yes, I already know my answer, but I'll check in with my co-host. Was there a used game you ever bought that you ended up regretting?
Usually when I'm buying used games, I'm buying very old used games, so no. Like, my old imports are used games.
Mm-hmm.
I have bought them at video game stores and public stores and different things. So, no.
I would say Fusion Frenzy 2 on the Xbox 360. That was a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
And I regret that purchase with every fiber of my being.
I regret renting WCW Thunder. That was so bad we gave it back.
There you go. Logi?
I don't have any that I remember off the top of my head that I regret purchasing. I just don't think I would buy something unless it was something that I would want. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess the closest thing, that was a new game, though. I was just trying to, there was some witch game that was on the, I think it was Bullet Witch. Yeah, it was Bullet Witch, but on Xbox 360, but that was new. I think it's supposed to be sort of like, it wasn't like Bayonetta, but it was terrible.
All right. There you go. There's some answers. All right. Let's take a peek in our mailbag. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com if you want to send us an email here on the show. Dark Soccer is going to check out the mailbag and find some emails to read here on air.
It's sticky.
Is it a sticky piston?
No, I just always think of Eddie Izzard going, oh, it's all sticky. Anyway, good evening, OLR crew. Is it weird to anyone else that we have Doug Bowser and Phil Spencer leading their respective gaming divisions of Nintendo and Microsoft, but Sony's public figurehead remains a mystery? We haven't really been able to put a face on the PlayStation brand for a couple of years now. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just odd. Thanks for reading, Garth. P.S. Rob, since you mentioned getting emails about it in a whisper, near Automata. But
you
yes.
know, it's not too late to bring back Kevin Butler. I'm just saying.
It's not.
Honestly, it would be
fantastic. I want Hirai.
There are some faces you see repeatedly on the PlayStation streams that when they announce, you know, but you're right, there's nobody that is quite as recognizable as the other two, and there's certainly nobody like Reggie Fils-Aimé. I mean, if you think about it, have we had a proper Nintendo Direct since Doug Bowser took over? I think maybe one. I think there was one where they were kind of passing the torch. I vaguely recall that. But I don't think, I mean, it's been so long since we've had a proper Nintendo Direct, really. So.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's one thing left in that one. But yes, I'm extremely excited for the remaster of Nier Replicant. That soundtrack is absolute fire.
I'm excited. The soundtrack to those games is great. So I wouldn't see why the other one would be any different. Replicant. Before you get to the next email, I have another question from chat, or comment, I suppose, from Machine. It's not Machine, it's Machine in chat, who says, hey, y'all, I just stepped in, have to run, but I got to share something that may or may not have already been said tonight. Amazon has TurboGrafx-16 Mini back in stock. I can't afford a next-gen system and new games, so this is my new system, and I absolutely love it. Yeah, Cosine, the TurboGrafx-16 Mini is a great compilation mini as far, you know, I like that it incorporates not just the cartridge or card really based games, but also like the CD stuff is in there. And there's a lot of stuff that straight up we never got in the US. Now it's all in Japanese. They didn't go back and translate it, but it's still cool that it's there. So I think it's a really neat little selection. So I agree. The TurboGrafx-16 is a great little thing to pick up, and you make a good point. New machines? Like $500 for a console, that's expensive. $300 for a Series S, that's still not in everybody's budget. So, you know, we here at OLR, we firmly believe you don't have to get the current stuff and the expensive stuff and still
you still get to be a gamer, even if you're lagging a gen behind, even if you're lagging two gens behind. Do you still play games? Yes. Then you're a gamer. Congrats. Games are for everyone, not just the rich. All right.
I do have another email, but for some reason, I can't get it to load.
That's weird. Do you need me to...
I tried it in two different browsers, so yeah, I can't get
YYR's. Do you need me to grab it on my phone?
Yeah, go for it. I just can't get YYR's email to load, like, at all, so I apparently was not meant to read it.
That's weird, because he doesn't have attachments or anything. All right, here we go. I got it. I got it on my phone. That's why I'm holding my phone.
Delete it when you're done.
Well, I'm... Okay, do you remember the days when the mailbag was acting really bad, and it was a long story?
Yeah.
So they still forward to my personal email. So I'm reading it out of my personal email. I just never turn that off. It's kind of nice.
Okay.
All right. Anyhow, here we go. YYR starts off. The subject is yay, best game. All right. Hello, LR. I'm still a week or two behind on my OLR listening, but I just had to write in after Cannon Spike was selected as a classic game of the week. It's one of my all-time favorite games. I've owned it since it launched as a late North American Dreamcast title. I grabbed it at the EB Games by my school on day one for $30. It's worth a lot more now, but there's no chance I'll ever sell it. It's one of the most exciting action-packed games I've ever played, and it's never the same game twice. No, really, it's actually never the same twice. The first four stages out of nine are played in a random order, and the order of stages 5 to 7 is randomized as well. The difficulty of any stage is determined by where in the order you play it, so a particular stage might be much more challenging during one play than the next. But that's not all. Enemy placement is randomized too, based on your current position in the stage when they spawn, as well as the difficulty level. So the game becomes much more about reaction time and strategy than about memorization. Speaking of strategy, every character has four different attacks. The first is your standard garden variety rapid fire shot, and every character can use it. But you also have a heavy shot that is typically slower and more powerful, as well as light and strong melee attacks. All three of these are unique to each of the characters and all have their pros, cons, and ideal situations. Every moment you're playing Cannon Spike, you're needing to strategize about what attack to use and when. And of course, every character has a limited use invincible special attack, but those are unique and situational as well. It would be tough to find another game of this type that requires a similar level of strategy. Boy, he really loves this game. It just goes on. Another great thing about Cannon Spike is its wide range of difficulty levels. You can play on baby, child, very easy, easy, normal, hard, or very hard. And if you play the game for a while, you'll notice distinct differences among those levels, not just with enemy hit points and bullet speed, but also enemy behavior and aggression. You can steamroll the game on baby with little effort, which is great for stress relief, but succeeding on the higher levels is truly a challenge. And if you manage to complete the game on a single credit while playing on easy or higher, you will proceed to a second loop where the challenge ramps up even further. So Cannon Spike, the second quest, I suppose. And some folks in chat remembering, oh yeah, Cannon Spike did look really interesting. Yeah, remember this one where it kind of came up and we were all like, how did we never know about this game? Dark Sakura picks some obscure stuff that's really cool sometimes. All right.
And I was like, how did you not know about this game? Because for me, it had just been kind of languishing in my vault.
It happens. But YYR is on your team. Everybody should have known about this. All right.
And we're finally, the cool kids.
And finally, I must mention this. Cannon Spike has the best boss names ever. Seriously. Crazy Machine Jet Tiger. Bio Gorilla Bloody. Attacker Antonio. UFO Robo Vader. Snowboard Robo Rusher. Insect Robo Overlord, Sticky Piston. Okay, I added that one. And let's not forget Cat Lady Beauty. And that's not even all of them. Truly, this is one of the best games ever. I'll end by chiming in on something Rob seemed a bit worried about. Now that the Nintendo 3DS family has ended production, how long will the 3DS eShop last, he wondered. Well, the DSi was continued on September 30th, 2014, and the DSi shop stayed open until March 31st, 2017. So if we go by that, it should be around at least 2.5 years. But if you recall, everything on the DSi shop moved forward to the 3DS eShop and is still purchasable, so it's not really the same thing. It may stay open even longer. Thanks again for the show, and enjoy your week. Stay healthy, Aaron or YYR. And SSG100 Matt in our chat is saying he does love this game. Full disclosure, YYR had Cannon Spike in his Dreamcast station at his home for years. So, all right, some follow-up there to a great Classic Game of the Week pick. Thank you, YYR, for sharing your thoughts. If you would like to share your thoughts on the Classic Game of the Week or anything we've talked about on OLR, or maybe something we missed, you can send us an email, mailbag at orangeloungeradio.com. I'm sorry, that's the...
That's the old email address that we stopped using like 3 years ago.
Girl.
How about participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send those emails. Woo. All right.
That's better.
Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. It's also written in the description of every episode. So even if I fuck up and say it wrong on air, you can go to the description and it's written right there. All right. Speaking of things we might have missed, are there any last minute stories? And this is the last call for you chat folks. If you have any questions or comments you want us to read. Loki, do we have any last minute stories?
Yeah, just one. Apparently the Roblox Corporation is looking to go public. So that's a thing. Apparently they're looking to make quite a bit of money off of that. And that's going to be something that they do next year.
Hmm. Interesting. I don't play a lot of Roblox, but I know there's a ton of customizations and things that people do with that.
Well, they should be glad that they're not. I mean, they're pretty big as it is, but like, you know how like YouTube smacks down any sort of things that they consider IP theft.
Oh yeah, there's tons of that. There's tons of that on Roblox.
It's just that is, yeah. Roblox. It's just ripping off all of the things. There's no protections whatsoever, but so yeah.
Dark Soccer, I heard you go, ooh, is that a last minute story or what's up?
Well, just I happened to take a quick glance at my Twitter because sometimes I see different things on there, and for some reason, Dr. Luke is trending because they think he's dead.
Oh, interesting.
I think fucked over Kesha and everybody, but but I didn't see anything on the news, so I'm not going to say on it. But yeah,
we'll double check Snopes on that one because sometimes people on Twitter are weird. But
well,
yeah.
There's no news on it right now, so I'm just, I don't see anything about it, but I just happened to see that, so I was fact checking it.
SJ100 Matt says it's a TMZ thing. That's why we're all taking it with a grain of salt.
Well,
on TMZ. Sorry, SJ100 Matt says nothing on TMZ.
Don't look on TMZ ever. Do not give them traffic. They are garbage.
But you see where my brain was like, oh, maybe they started the rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just happened to notice and I was like, let me look. That's just why I went, oh, and because I was going to say good, but no.
All right. Any other comments, thoughts, things to address tonight before we wrap up? I guess not. All right. Well, that is it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for tuning into our show, whether it was live or on our podcast feed, because we are available on many different podcatchers, including Apple iTunes, Spotify. I don't know, most of the big ones. If we're not there yet and we should be, let me know. I'll try to get us there, unless it's Stitcher, because we actually are not on Stitcher by choice. They stopped updating episodes of our show and did not really seem to give a shit when I would email him or just make it seem like it's my problem, even though plenty of other catchers had no problem staying up with the show. And I did not like that it was making us look lazy to our fans who were expecting new episodes. So I said, all right, if you can't get it right, then we're not going to have you list our show anymore. So I pulled this off of Stitcher. So that's the story of the quick story on why we're not on Stitcher. I've tried to get us on Amazon's thing, but I think
it's
the fact,
by the way, just saying,
okay, well, a lot of things on Twitter happen to be, I was going to say with the Amazon, I think the fact we use a custom URL thing throws them for a loop, but Bobby's on there. So I don't know why they're not listing us. So whatever. Anyway, DJ Rama S says, I found a way to fix it on Stitcher. Well, unless I start hearing from a ton of listeners that want to see us back on Stitcher, I don't see the point in getting us listed on Stitcher. So I would rather support other podcast platforms. All right. I think that's it. I think that's going to wrap it up for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you for watching the show. Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on air, then what are we doing? Auto hosts on Twitch, those go a long way as well. We really appreciate all of those. Thank you to everybody who followed VOG Network. We got quite a few bits tonight. Thank you. Subscriptions. You guys have been extremely generous with the subscriptions. You guys might have missed it. Well, you weren't here, Dark Sakura and Loki. It was after we hung up on you, but we had like a sub train going after the show last week. It was insane. There's a lot of you that subbed to the show. So thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, it's really appreciated. You don't have to do that, but you do. And so we're trying to make more content. That's why I've been really motivated to do things like the roundtable. And I have some other stuff that I'm working on too. And Dark Sakura's got an idea she was floating earlier, and Loki will finish his game and then we'll get to stream that. So we'll have lots and lots of content coming soon. So, all right. Let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts for 2 weeks. So Loki, why don't you give us your final thought for the night?
I guess I'll be working on my game some more.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. You get an extra weekend to do it, so make the best of it.
Yep.
All right. My final thought is I'm going to get my crafters and gatherers to 80. It's going to happen in 2 weeks when we come back, hopefully. I don't know, but I am going out of town as well, which I'm really, really looking forward to, just like the mental break and taking a long road trip to see a friend of mine who has been following the rules, and I've been following the rules, and you know, we're making a choice to mix, but I'm sure it will be fine. And it will be nice after this crazy year to get a break. Sure will. Dark Soccer, your final thought.
I am back into weightlifting at home. And if anyone else is doing any kind of strength training at home, I would love to see what you're doing and see what techniques you're using, because I don't think I'm ever going to step foot back in a gym unless, like, I need like really heavy things. So the number one thing is that we all have to do what we can to take care of ourselves in whatever capacity that we can. So please make sure that you're taking good care of yourself.
Yes, please. All right. That's going to do it. Oh my God. Yeah. Cause the deadline to register in many states is tomorrow, Monday, right?
Yes.
Isn't it just vote.org? I know it scrolls across the bottom at some point.
I'm sure it is.
Pretty sure it's just vote.org. So please check on that, because for many states, tomorrow is the last chance. So get on it. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility because, we want to get past all this COVID stuff. And I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I really only think there's one way past it. But anyway, you decide and vote. So, all right. That's it. We're done. We're out of here. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Happy gaming. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.